Hey, Truth Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around tonight. We have an abundance of weirdness to talk about tonight. Real abundance of weirdness. You know, when you spend as the Suicider Beck and this sick bastard Limbaugh and the rest of these people, when you spend an inordinate amount of time talking to your thousands upon thousands of brain dead cult followers, telling them lies. Now, these people are not able to separate reality from nonsense anyway, but when it's drilled in day after day, hour after hour, across the fruited plain, border to border, and coast to coast, and when you drill into their empty heads that an attempt to bring some sort of corporate-style health care to the people of the United States is a communist plot or the worst thing to occur since Pearl Harbor. Eventually, these sick people believe it. They truly believe it. And then when the legislation passes that, according to these poor, sick people, will now usher in Armageddon, they start to react as only stupid, brain-dead people can. They shoot guns or throw rocks or set things on fire or try to find somebody to lynch. And that's what's going on right now. For a solid year, the filth in this country, represented by these multi-million-dollar right-wingers, the filth, the putrefaction of discourse in this country that they've brought. The filth has been telling people all these terrible things are going to occur. And the filth, knowing full well that the people they're talking to can't separate reality from nonsense. So that's occurring now. And we're gonna tell you there are 5-6 incidents over the past 24 hours that have occurred across the country where the filth have inspired their followers to go crazy. And, of course, their followers are more than willing to do that. Sarah Palin is now posting on her tweet site or her Twitter pooper or whatever the hell it's called, a demand that people who supported the health care legislation who are up for re-election should be shot and killed. Now, she doesn't actually say shot and killed, but that's what she's putting into the heads of her brain-dead people, because what she uses to target them is a scope, a rifle scope, a target scope. So the battle has been joined. If you are a Democrat, if you are a normal person, independent, a liberal, a progressive, a normal person, it started. This is the way it starts. This is the way a complete chaotic breakdown of society begins. So if you have not done so already, do prepare yourself for these punks that are now responding to the fact that the United States has joined the 20th century and legislation has been written that provides corporate health care. Oh, my. When the pig man, Limbaugh, was asked where he would go for health care if Obama's reform passed, he answered, quote, "I don't know. I'll just tell you this. If this passes and it's 5 years from now and all this stuff gets implemented, I'm leaving the country. I'll go to Costa Rica." End quote. That's what he said. Of course, the pig man, being as ignorant as his listeners, didn't understand that Costa Rica is one of the oldest socialized healthcare systems in the world. In fact, everyone, including resident foreigners, are required to pay into the government-run health system, whether they use it or not. Now, Jones Travel Partners, a travel agency, I almost hate to mention it because knowing that the filth is now crawling around this country, throwing bricks and trying to intimidate people, I hate to even mention it, but this company has volunteered to pay in full Limbaugh a one-way ticket to Costa Rica so he can make good on his word. The agency's owner says, quote, "As a service to the country, my travel agency is more than willing to send Rush Limbaugh one way to Costa Rica or the country of his choice as long as it is off American soil," end quote. Well, good for you, Joan, but make sure you carry a gun as you go about your business. I'm sorry, but he probably does already. Probably does already. Now, for the people who normally listen online, we forgot to turn it on. It's being turned on right now. Sorry about that. I guess I should start the program all over again, but I guess I can't do that. So anyway, very strange stuff going on. Very strange indeed. There is a blogger in Alabama who is suggesting that people get violent and people around the country are doing it. The guy's he's from Pinson, Alabama. His name is Mike Vanderbo, VanderBoegh. And he's been keeping track of these missiles that are being thrown at Democratic offices around the country. After he issued a call Friday on his blog site, he wrote, "To all modern sons of liberty, this is your time. Break their windows. Break them now." The Kansas City Star identifies this piece of vomit as the former leader of the Alabama Constitutional Militia. Oh, another group of cowardly punks who like to take their BB rifles and run out in the woods and pretend like they're fighting somebody. The blog is the Sipsey Street Irregulars, S-I-P-S-E-Y, Sipsey Street Irregulars. And it identifies with the so-called Three Percenter Doctrine. It says on his site, quote, "During the American Revolution, the active forces in the field against the king's tyranny never amounted to more than 3% of the colonists," end quote. Ba-doo, 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 ba-doo. And his March 19 post says, "They will send the Internal Revenue Service and other federal police to do this in thousands of small Wacos, if that is what it takes to force us to submit. This arrogant elite pretends that this oppression is for our own good, while everyone else understands that this is about their selfish, insatiable appetite for control over our money, our liberty, our property, and our lives." Whew. Oh, my God. So, in response, vandals are smashing doors and windows at Democratic offices around the country. Five so far that have been reported. And this piece of vomit, Mike Vanderbog, or whatever his name is taking credit for starting what he calls a window war. Here's just a quick breakdown. Well, wait, let's do this break, and then we'll come back, and I'll give you some of the incidences where this has occurred. It's pretty disgusting. It really is. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night, Alan Grayson, Florida congressman, will join us on the program. And there's some other announcements we'll get to a little bit later.
is the outrage? Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Let's keep in mind, of course, what broken windows means. It's Kristallnacht, the attack against the Jews in Germany, as ordered by the brown shirts, ordered by Hitler. So it is not just a coincidence that this piece of human waste in Alabama, Mike Vanderberg, nice German name too, no offense to Germans, but I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. He's ordering windows to be broken, right? Early on the morning of March 19th, someone threw a brick through the window of Representative Louis Slaughter's office in Niagara Falls, New York. According to the Buffalo News, Slaughter, Democrat in New York, briefly attracted the ire of conservatives over the Slaughter solution, a procedural maneuver that was considered but ultimately not used to pass the health reform. Also in Slaughter's district, a brick was thrown through the glass doors of the Monroe County Democratic Committee office in Rochester, New York, over the weekend. According to that newspaper, the Democrat and Chronicle, a note attached to the brick bore the Barry Goldwater quote, "Extremism, defense of liberty is no vice." In the early hours of the morning yesterday, just after the House health care vote, someone smashed the glass front door of the Tucson, Arizona office of Representative Gabriel Giffords, Democrat of Arizona, according to the Arizona Daily Star. The paper reported, quote, "The perpetrator likely had to hop the gated fence to get access to the door since it's not viewable from the parking lot," end quote. On Friday night or Saturday morning, a brick bearing unspecified anti-Obama and anti-healthcare messages was thrown through a floor-to-ceiling window at the Sedgwick County Democratic Party headquarters in Wichita, Kansas. That's according to the Kansas City Star and CNN. And after the passage of the bill Sunday night, what is described as a fist-sized rock was thrown at a window at the Hamilton County Democratic Party in Cincinnati, in the district of Representative Steve Dryhaus, a Democrat of Ohio. That's according to the Cincinnati Inquirer. And Pinson, Alabama-based blogger Mike Vanderberg has been calling for this. He's been on his blog, "This is your time, break their windows, break them now." And the Kansas City Star identifies this piece of human waste as a former leader of the Alabama Constitutional Militia. Yada, yada, yada. Unbelievable. This is United States 2010, and it's I honestly believe it's only going to get worse. Unless there is immediate ripping of these thugs to pieces. I mean, legally, just rip them to shreds, the people that are doing this. For those who don't particularly like the health care, work to change it, work to repeal it, work to come up with something better, you morons. But this, I think, once again, this fully demonstrates there's no question here. I mean, there it's not even debatable that this whole anti-healthcare thing is that's just the mask. That's just that's what we're supposed to focus on. That's what these people are about. These are people. These are sheet-wearing Klansmen. These are American Nazis, American fascists. These are stupid people who have a lot of guns, who are very, to some degree, embarrassed by the fact that most of them have very tiny penises, at least in their minds, they think that. That's why they have such very big guns. They don't consider themselves to be fully male. They're terrified of same-sex urgings that they feel. That's the reason they get so violent about homosexuals. Their racist attitude is deeply ingrained and embedded. These are sick people, in other words. Very, very sick people. They're sick on about five or six different levels. These people are walking examples of the DSM-4. And all these psychopathic illnesses that are eating them alive. So their solution is to join militias and call themselves patriots, or rather than getting out and changing the political system by never again voting for a Democrat or a Republican, but always voting for people who are progressive and liberal and determined to make this country what it could be. These people don't care. They're worse than Republicans, much worse. But this is the Glenn Beck crowd. This is the O'Reilly crowd. This is the crowd that the multimillionaires in poisonous talk radio and talk television love to jerk around. These are the cult followers. These are the ones that the suicider and the pill popper and the child abuser love collectively to stir them up and then sit back in their gated communities with their bodyguards and laugh and chuckle and hoot and holler as Jew goes against Gentile, black goes against white, gay against straight, male against female, right winger against left winger, conservative against liberal. This is what these filthy, filthy Beck types live for.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazi Tiananmen.
It's 25 before the hour. Now the Montgomery newspaper, the Montgomery Advertiser, is reporting that the Alabama blogger who told everybody to go out and smash windows because of the passing of the health care is he receives Social Security disability. Yeah. He receives Social Security disability. Now, Republicans back in the day wanted to deny this guy his Social Security disability. Thank God there were some Democrats, quite a few, who made sure that this piece of human waste would get, all these years later, 70 years later, he would get his Social Security disability. I would imagine it's back trouble. A yellow streak right down the middle of this freak's back that renders him unable to work. You think?
Go out and throw bricks through windows, yeah. Just don't hit anything. Might interfere with me getting my check.
I promised I wouldn't say those bad words, didn't I? Yeah, okay. A couple of announcements here before I forget. Tomorrow night, Florida Congressman Alan Grayson is going to be on the program. And starting Monday, we will be live video streaming this program. So if you listen online, oh, God, this is going to be awful. You know, I get so many people to say, well, you know, Mike, I'm older than you are. I'm 43. When we were testing it today, it works great, by the way. Too great. I hate high definition, but come Monday, you'll have your you'll have live streaming of this live video streaming of the program, and this is one way that I'll be able to handle profanity. Say, I won't be able to say it on the air. I'll just hold up signs. I've already got some in mind. You filthy stuff like that. So, yeah, go Biden yourself, you son of a bitch. So anyway, that's Monday. Prepare yourself. Oh my God, I'll prepare myself. It ought to be fun. It's going to be very, very weird for me because I'm not. I don't like video. I don't like cameras. It's very difficult to go do MSNBC or CNN. I think I've turned down more than I've accepted because I'm just not all that photogenic. And then really jumping ahead here, next Friday week, April 2nd, that's Good Friday if you're a Christian, we're going to have, again, in response to a number of requests, we're going to have Youth Night on this program. We haven't done this for a couple, 3 years. Now, what that is, we'll take calls all night during the three-hour program from people between the ages of 13 and 17, inclusive. You can be 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17. Younger than that, nah. Older than that, nah. 13 to 17, inclusive. So, to the younger people who listen to this program, or if you don't listen, if you're a parent, you have somebody in that age group, and you want to get their opinion out, have them call us. And of course, it's a whole different attitude. I don't invite kids to call in and then brutalize them. I realize that for the most part, children, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, children, especially if they're the children of right-wingers, absorb an awful lot of the hate and the bigotry from their parents. Children of liberals pretty much set their own agendas, kids do, and figure things out on their own. But the children of right-wingers, the children of extreme right-wingers, very seldom have the chance to find their own balance point, you know, decide on their own what they like and don't like. It's force-fed into them. Just like Catholic children have no freedom to decide whether or not they really want to believe this nonsense. If they really want to continue to put up with the priest groping their asses, you know, they are instructed that this is the way of God. So it's difficult sometimes when we have the kids on, but we're going to do it Friday week. Okay? So streaming, video streaming starting Monday, Shudder, and Alan Grayson tomorrow night, and Friday week, kid night, youth night. All right? This is from Zemo. My late sister-in-law was a hardworking supporter and friend of Louise Slaughter. She's the representative, Democrat representative whose office was hit with a brick. And I still live in Monroe County, Zemo writes, in upstate New York, where a local lowbrow tossed a brick through the Democratic headquarters today. I thought the worst local teabag nonsense concerned our town library, and was shocked to see Rachel Maddow lead her show with this story. Please don't associate the stink from these two-legged skunks with the progressives in our community. Zemo. P.S. The teabaggers in my town were upset about taxes for our local library. Should we progressives be shocked? Of course not. Man. And in keeping with the great cooperative attitude from the cowardly bastard who flew over North Vietnam bombing civilians into early graves, you know what I mean, Senator John McCain, who is no more of a war hero than anyone who murders people in their sleep, which is exactly what McCain did. McCain has said, don't expect Republican cooperation on anything in the Senate for the rest of the year, and the House, too, I guess, which is not what Christopher Dodd said earlier this evening about a different subject, and that is trying to rewrite some of these finance laws to stop the vicious predators on Wall Street who continue to rape and pillage this country and anything else they can get their hands on. But anyway, McCain and another Republican senator said that the health reform legislation has had such a negative effect on the Senate that nothing is going to happen now. They're not going to cooperate. What the hell? They haven't cooperated since Barack Obama took office anyway. This is something new? You know, McCain, you're such a brain-dead, cowardly Nazi yourself. You and Sarah Palin, oh my God. The Senate is set to take up a bill under budget reconciliation, which is being done tonight, started tonight, would make a series of changes to the larger health bill. Now, during the months of debate, Republicans have claimed they've been shut out of the process, even though 100 of their amendments are included in the bill. Oh, man, these people are just making me crazy. Democrats, for their part, said that they had invited Republican participation in the debate, but said that many of the Republican ideas on the bill were meant to be dilatory, if not outright obstructionist. So some of those are going to be removed. Judd Gregg is the other Republican freak who said, in my opinion, the institution of the Congress has been fundamentally harmed. And he's talking about Harry Reid. That somehow Harry Reid, this innocuous, kind of gray, almost invisible Senate Majority Leader, has somehow had this profoundly negative effect on the United States Senate. These guys are unbelievable, aren't they? It should be noted, Michael O'Brien, writing The Hill, said, for someone who campaigned, as McCain did, on country first and claims to take great pride in bipartisanship, it's absolutely bizarre for John McCain to tell the American people he's going to take his ball and go home until the next election. He must be living in some parallel universe, because the fact is, with very few exceptions, there hasn't been any cooperation from Senate Republicans in recent years. And O'Brien says, at a time when our economy is suffering and we're fighting two wars, the American people need McCain and his fellow Republicans to start working with us to confront the challenges facing the country, not reiterating their constant opposition to helping working families when they need it most. But Republicans, Michael O'Brien at The Hill, come on, get in the game. You're not that naive, Michael. Republicans don't give a damn about working families. They don't care about anybody. Nobody. Except their corporate overlords. The Republicans are anti-family. They're anti-life. They're anti-everything. They're swine. They want to see the country back to England before the revolution there. They want to see, before the Magna Carta, they want to see the divine right of kings and serfs to fall into their proper alignment, you see. Now, when we come back, I'm going to tell you just five or six things. Immediate impact from the legislation Obama signed today. Immediate impact. And this is what the Republicans are going to try to destroy. Sadness, pain, and tears. We change with love, life, happiness, bliss, and cheers. We will live for years, but don't ever forget the fallen. Keep all the lives lost in your heart, soul, and wallet. We will rebuild our nation without hesitation and continue to live with strong freedom, preservation. Light a candle and gather, let your presence be felt. We will overcome the heartaches and watch the evil melt. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, what we need is to stand together in unity. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, just believe, cause peace will come eventually. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, never let go of hope. You can still achieve your dreams. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, if you see what I see, then come and stand by me.
It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, the legislation that Obama signed today will affect just about every person in the United States in some way. And while that's true, the major changes, like the mandate that you have to get insurance and the creation of insurance exchanges, won't take effect for about 3.5 years until 2014. However, there are some benefits that are going to kick in immediately and later this year. This is what the Republicans are going to try to kill. Within 3 months of the law taking effect, people who have been locked out of the insurance market because of a pre-existing condition will now be eligible for subsidized coverage through a new high-risk insurance program. Understand? All those millions of people who can't get insurance, now you can. And it's not going to be insurance you can't afford. The Republicans want to destroy that. In 6 months, new insurance policies will have to permit adult children to stay on their parents' policies until they turn 26. Now, there are a number of reasons why that's a good idea. Young people just starting out have a very difficult time making ends meet, much less buying health insurance, and they usually let it go. And if they do have a catastrophic event, then the public winds up paying for it. So that's something else the Republicans are going to try to kill. Small businesses with fewer than 25 employees and average annual wages of up to $50,000 will get immediate tax credits. Tax credits. Isn't that what the Republicans are always peeing their pants about? They want tax? Okay, here they are. To offset the cost of buying insurance for their workers. Republicans are going to try to kill that. New rules for insurance companies will also take effect. In 6 months, all new insurance plans will have to cover the full cost of preventive care, including annual physicals, children's immunizations. Now, if you don't want to immunize your child, don't. But if you do want to have a screening for cancer, it'll be paid for. Insurers won't be able to require prior approval for patients who need to see gynecologists or go to the emergency room. Republicans want to destroy that now. Also effective after 6 months will be a ban on insurance companies from dropping people from coverage when they get sick. Republicans say, no, we want to kill that too. There will be a prohibition on health insurance companies from denying coverage to children with pre-existing conditions. No, say the Republicans. Let the little bastards die. Huh? And there'll be a ban on health insurance companies from placing lifetime caps on coverage. So if your lifetime cap is $800,000 and you're battling colon cancer and you hit $799,999 and you need another course of treatment, the Republicans want you to die. And for seniors, this bill will immediately expand the Medicare drug benefit, the one that the Bush administration put in place without funding that has cost seniors thousands of dollars. Well, now the bill will immediately expand the Medicare drug benefit and effective July 1st, provide a 50% discount on brand name drugs for the low-income elderly. And when the Senate passes the reconciliation bill, the gap known as the donut hole in Medicare prescription drug coverage will be closed. Gradually, but it'll be close. This is the stuff that the Republicans are going around telling everybody is socialism. It's the worst thing since Pearl Harbor. It's death. It's destruction. It's awful. We're not going to cooperate with anything because you passed this. America doesn't want this. Nobody wants this. Are you kidding me? This is what they're talking about. Now, let's just see what the American people say. We have 16 Republican states' attorneys general who are promising to band together in an act of defiance to prevent the residents of their states from participating. Okay, boys, go ahead. Go ahead. This is the thing. I hope these filthy, slimy Republicans will do everything they can. Everything to stop people from getting health insurance for their kids. No pre-existing conditions. No caps on lifetime benefits. Closing the donut hole for older people. Go ahead, boys. Let's see you do it. Go ahead. And also, it'll be fun for me to listen, and I will listen occasionally, to the pig man and the psychopath Beck trying to explain to their already dead followers to vote against their own best interests, to throw the bums out. We're going to get rid of them. And Sarah Palin putting up on her tweet site, her Twitter, titter, whatever the hell it is, rifle scopes. We have to eliminate these people, the ones that voted to cover your children with insurance. Oh, Americans don't want that. 26-year-olds on their parents' policy? Oh, America doesn't want that. Seniors getting a 50% discount? No! Americans don't want that. Just keep doing it, Republicans. This is a chance for the first time in my lifetime to see your whole party end. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. The Don of Baltimore writes regarding McCain, the quote McCain gave an Arizona radio station, there will be no cooperation for the rest of the year. They have poisoned the well. The Democrats have poisoned the well in what they've done and how they've done it. Yeah, they beat your ass, didn't they, John? Don writes, McCain and his Republican friends are upset they lost, and so they're picking up what's left of their marbles and are going home. They don't want to play with those mean, nasty Democrats and that big bully in the White House anymore. Cry me a river, USOBs. McCain and his Republican friends did all they could to kill health insurance reform and all they could to delay health insurance reform. They never wanted any reform. Free markets, free trade, and deregulation is all they want. Let the corporate CEOs decide what's right for the American people. They make me sick. I'm sick of seeing and hearing anything from McCain. I don't watch TV news much because it's so full of BS. But I'd like to have a dollar for every time the SOB. I'm sorry for all the letters here, but I promised I wouldn't cuss. I'd like to have a dollar every time that SOB John McCain popped up in the news offering his useless opinions to whatever the hell the subject was. And I'm sick of seeing Scarface, period. These crybabies can't take losing very well, and that is why Obama's having so much trouble dealing with these SOBing crybabies. You can just see how immature and how plain rotten these Republicans and these teabaggers and these right-wing nuts really are. It was an ugly win, but Obama got it done. And even if it is far from being the right way to go, it's a start in the right direction. Don in Baltimore, and MJC writes, in Florida, McCollum, he used to be a representative, I think. He's now the attorney general. This McCollum jackass, the attorney general leading the charge to file the lawsuit to take away health care from cancer-ridden kids, is running for governor. He knows he'll lose. You can't sue if you don't have standing. That is, no one has been harmed. What are your damages? On behalf of whom you're suing, if you wish to sue to prevent future harm, then that harm must be imminent. Funny, though, although McCollum is obviously suing to get votes, he better take a look at the new Gallup poll. And the new Gallup poll just indicates that I want to see these attorneys general do it, because it's going to blow up in their faces. Even half illiterate right wing Republicans who have children that they could no longer insure, the parents are now going to realize that here's a chance to get insurance for their children, and they're going to allow some pasty faced bastard like McCollum take it away from them. Oh, okay. Yeah. Though most polls show more Americans opposed the health care bill than supported, it says here in TampaBay.com, recent surveys suggest that people are warming up to it. Gallup, one of the nation's leading polling firms, reported Tuesday that 49% of those surveyed now support the bill's passage, with only 40% opposed it. Pollster John Zogby said Republicans need to be careful about this. When campaign season kicks in and people start asking what you've done, it's dangerous to say, I opposed. That can work in a Republican primary, but in a general election in Florida, it could be a bad strategy. So far, McCollum hasn't offered any major policy proposals on health insurance in Florida, where an estimated 4 million residents, about 20% of the population, lack coverage. McCollum says he said he wants the state to improve on its 2003 medical malpractice reforms to lower health insurance costs. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Make it harder for people who have the left kidney taken out instead of the diseased right one to sue. That'll lower your premiums. Even people in Florida are not that stupid. And you know who I mean by that. Chief Financial Officer Alex Sink, the Democratic frontrunner for governor, hasn't made it a high priority either. Asked what he's done to help reduce the ranks of the uninsured or improve health care quality, McCollum said that's not my job to do as Attorney General. But he says he's advocated for good policy. Oh, my God. Well, you just go for it, boys. You Republican worms, just go for it. Keep pushing it. Maggie from Mount Shasta writes, subject line is another civil war brewing. She writes, I'm freaking out. It seems this right-wing megaphone that's blasting hate across America is getting louder and louder, and the message is scarier and scarier. I used to think that the neocons who control the media were trying to divide and conquer us. Now I'm pretty sure they're trying to get us to kill each other. Well, yeah, Maggie, you're absolutely right. That's the sole function of Glenn Beck. Limbaugh was used to soften people's brains up for 20 years. He's been liquefying the brains of right-wingers and Republicans and middle-of-the-roaders, liquefying their brains. And that was the one punch. The two punch, then, is this crazy, crazy pig, Glenn Beck, who not only is he a drunk, a dry drunk, an apostate Mormon, he's just crazy. He sees himself as some kind of a cult leader, kind of like who's the guy that did Scientology? L. Ron Hubbard. Hubbard, a cult leader. Oh, now, listen, let me just say right away, you Scientologists are worse than Zionists. Every time I mention L. Ron Hubbard, that he was a piece of human waste and a psychopath, I get all these letters from you Scientologists, all these emails. Stick it in your rear ends, okay? Don't email me. You Scientologists are crazier than loons. You're like Zionists. You're just absolutely out of your mind. You're like right-wingers. So don't email me, okay? Beck would love to be L. Ron Hubbard. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to invent a new religion. Oh, my. So don't write to me, Scientologists. Don't write to me, or I'll clear your brains out for you. Are you clear? Did you go clear? Oh, God.
We are beset with crazy people, aren't we? Crazies to the left, crazies to the right. Now, how crazy? Well, a new Harris poll finds nearly one-fourth of Republicans believe Obama may be the Antichrist. Now, this is a Lewis Harris poll. This is not, you know, some jackass like Rasmussen. This is a real polling company. It's not an Onion headline. And it's just another poll that shows Republicans are out of their effing minds. I mean, they're crazy. They're just insane. Insane. Two-thirds. A Harris poll reveals two-thirds of Republicans think Obama is a socialist. Almost 60% think he's a Muslim. And almost a fourth say he may be the Antichrist. You know, I am so sick of seeing that word Antichrist. Will you religious nutballs, please go somewhere. Jump in the ocean. Go live on an island. You know, go back to burning live goats or whatever the hell you do. This Antichrist, what is wrong with you? Some guy 2,000 years ago gets absolutely ripped on Golan Heights peyote and writes all this craziness down. And 2,000 years later, so many of you people are going, oh, yeah, well, you know, it says that the seven-headed whore will rise up out of the sea and eat people. And oh, my God, my God, my God. 38% of Republicans say that Obama is, quote, doing many of the things that Hitler did, end quote. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you allow unrestricted psychopaths like Glenn Beck or L. Ron Hubbard or O'Reilly or the rest of these crazy people to roam the earth without being caged.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Past the hour. Nice party, you Republican. Nice political party, you Republican morons have. It's incredible. Here's some more from Blue Texan. Let's see. 57% of Republicans believe that Obama's a Muslim. 45% of Republicans agree with the birthers in their belief that Obama was not born in the U.S. 45%. 38% of Republicans say that Obama is doing many things that Hitler did. 24% of Republicans say that Obama may be the Antichrist. The writer says, we're playing with dynamite by demonizing our president, dividing the United States in the process. What might be good for ratings is bad for the country. The poll, which surveyed 2,200 people right at the height of the health care reform debate, also clearly shows that education is a barrier to extremism. Respondents without a college education are vastly more likely to believe such claims, while Americans with college degrees or better are less easily duped. It's a reminder of what the 19th century educator Horace Mann once too loftily said, quote, ignorance breeds monsters to fill up the vacancies of the soul that are unoccupied by the verities of knowledge, end quote. Woohoo. Full results of the poll will be released tomorrow in greater detail. And some of the results are even more frightening, including news that high percentages of Republicans believe that President Obama is racist. Way to go, Glenn Beck. Anti-American. Way to go, Limbaugh. Wants the terrorists to win. Way to go, Hannity. And wants to turn over the sovereignty of the United States to a one-world government. Where? You dumb bastards. Where? Where is the government that... Oh, my God.
Also, the belief that Obama is a domestic enemy, as set forth in the Constitution, is also widely held, a sign of trouble yet to come. It's the same claim made by Marine Lance Corporal Cody Brittingham in his letter of intent to assassinate the president. This poll is the latest and most detailed evidence of the extent to which wingnuts are hijacking our politics. It should be a wake-up call to all Americans and a collective reminder that we need to stand up to this kind of extremism. This is from the Daily Beast, Blue Texan. I don't know. I've never seen, I've said this a million times, I've never seen anything like this. Never, ever. The ignorance that has all of a sudden, I mean, jumped up like some kind of a troll from under a bridge. Remember that story when you were a kid? Three billy goats, Gruff, and the troll under the bridge. That story haunted me my entire life. I still can't walk over a bridge out in the forest without thinking about some troll reaching his bony Republican hand up and grab me by the ankle and start gnawing. You know, I got something today. An essay about how we should forgive these Republicans and try to invite them back into the family of man. And my answer to that is, are you crazy? Who wrote this? I mean, it's a good essay. I'm not knocking the essay. But that's like, you know, somebody who goes through your neighborhood with an axe and murders people all over the place, like 9 houses down the street, bloody corpses. And then you're supposed to walk out and say, oh, axe guy, come here, axe guy, listen. Hey, listen, I know you're upset, right? Well, look, come on and have a cup of coffee. Just calm down, axe guy. You know, everything's... But axe guy, come on. It's not, you know, you can't flip out like this. Come on. Just because, you know, you're pissed off at the President of the United States, you're going to go through the neighborhood and axe everybody? And then that's the end of the guy that was standing there trying to say, come on, axe guy. Madness. Madness. Well, anyway, when we come back, we have a moment with Bob for you, all right? And we also have something from Bruce Enberg, our economics correspondent. So stick around tonight. We have a bunch of good stuff for you. All of a sudden, I got like 5 emails from Australians after getting that call last night. Paz from Australia, Brandon from Australia, Danny from Australia, and a couple more, and every one of them has the same invitation, you know. Come on down. Leave the asylum. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Any longer.
Cleaning up America one flying monkey at a time. It's more Mike Malloy.
world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children.
25 before the hour, and I think it's time for another moment with Bob. Brought to you by your friends at the Republican National Committee. Tonight's subject line, my dog, Frank. Hey, Mike. I was about to get on the freeway on my way to Santa Barbara when I stopped to pick up a hitchhiker. As the guy was getting into the car, he looked back over his shoulder and called out, "Goodbye, Midnight." I asked him who he was talking to, and he pointed over to some bushes where I saw a black lab retriever. The guy said he was moving into a Christian group home that didn't allow pets, so he was going to abandon his dog there at the freeway on-ramp. Long story short, I kicked the guy out of the car and took the dog home and had one of my first real insights into Christians. This is back in 1973. Just about every black lab I knew was named either Blackie, Pooh Bear, or Midnight. I looked at the dog, he looked at me, and I named him Frank. Over the years, I learned a lot from Frank. He wasn't into rationalizing. He didn't spend any time justifying his actions. If I put out a new brand of dog food and he liked it, he ate it. If he didn't like it, he wouldn't eat it. As a dog, Frank wasn't expected to give any reasons for his likes or dislikes. Many times over the last 37 years, I've envied him that. If I'm watching a movie that I like, I'm not analyzing the plot, the actors, the editing or direction. I'm just digging the movie. Afterwards, if someone asks, "What did I think of the movie?" I can't get away with, "I liked it," or "I didn't like it." If they liked it and I didn't, the next question is, why? Why didn't I like something they did? Now I have to start thinking about it. I've got to analyze the film and come up with intellectually sound reasons to justify why I didn't like the movie. Then the person I'm talking to tries to find weak spots in my argument, and the debate drags on and on. That's about the time I wish I had the same rights and privileges of a black lab named Frank. No one ever bugged him about why he didn't like Purina Dog Chow. I'm at my most Frank-like when it comes to politics. I initially don't want to think about it. In 1970, I was going to college in California when Ronald Reagan was governor. Regarding the student disruptions at UC Berkeley, Reagan called out the National Guard and said, "If it's got to be a bloodbath, let it be now." That made quite an impression on me, on a visceral level. This guy didn't seem to mind killing students who were protesting our ongoing war crime du jour, the Vietnam War. 10 years later, he was running for president. I didn't know anything about anything specific about his proposed foreign or domestic policies. I had no idea who his advisors were going to be. All I knew was here was a guy that could casually use the word bloodbath and should be kept as far away as possible from the big red nuclear button. What was unsettling was I knew lots of people my age who were going to vote for him. They'd ask us if I was going to vote for him. I'd say no. They'd say, why? And then I have nothing to back up my answer other than the 10-year-old bloodbath story. Later on, I researched and found loads of reasons why he shouldn't be president. He was a typical Republican, which is shorthand for a lying corporatist whore. When George Herbert Walker was making his run for the White House, I couldn't vote for him either. I never paid attention to any of his campaign speeches. Aside from being Reagan's vice president, all I knew about George Herbert Walker Bush was that he was a former director of the CIA. I just thought if someone used to be the head of the world's largest terrorist organization, that should automatically disqualify him from being president. Made sense to me. Why didn't I consider voting for Bob Dole? Well, that's easy. In 1996, Dole said that smoking is not necessarily addictive. That meant that Dole either had been bought by Big Tobacco and was, you know, a lying corporatist whore, or incredibly stupid. Didn't make any difference either way. Not presidential material. George W. Bush? Easier still. He couldn't talk. Who cared if he could surround himself with people who actually knew things? There was clearly something wrong with his mental processes. He was obviously an idiot. A customer service rep for a cable company should be able to think and speak clearly. That goes for the President of the United States, too. This last go-around was another no-brainer. John McCain is a war criminal and warmonger who picked a bona fide crazy woman as a running mate. What more did anyone need to know? In Oliver Sacks' book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, Oliver Sacks wrote of patients in the brain-damaged ward watching one of Ronald Reagan's speeches. Sachs wrote, quote, "What was going on? A roar of laughter from the aphasia ward, just as the president's speech was coming on. And they all had been so eager to hear the president speaking. There he was, the old charmer, the actor with his practiced rhetoric, his emotional appeal. And all the patients were convulsed with laughter." End quote. They were aphasiacs, people who had lost the ability to understand the meaning of words strung together. But they still retained an ability to understand the feeling tone of communication. Quote, "Thus it was the grimaces, the false gestures, and above all the false tones and cadences of Reagan's voice, which rang false for these wordless but immensely sensitive patients. It was to these, for them, most glaring, even grotesque incongruities and improprieties that my aphasic patients responded, undeceived and undeceivable by words. That is why they laughed at the president's speech." End quote, Oliver Sacks. If brain-damaged patients understood Reagan was a liar, what does that say about the majority of Americans who elected that clown twice? The Democrats should have won every major election in my lifetime, but they didn't. I guess it would have been against the rules or something for Al Gore to look at Bush and say to the people, "They're kidding, right? The Republicans think this is the best guy for the job. He barely squeaked out of school. He's failed at every business he tried to run. And his friends loaned him the money so he could buy into a baseball team. As governor, he ran his state into a ditch. And the only thing he seems to be good at is executing people. And by the way, have you noticed he can't speak more than two sentences in a row without smoke coming out of his ears? That's just plain weird." Figuring out politics in America should be easy. The Republican candidates put before us have been so woeful and lacking, from Tricky Dick's checker speech to George W.'s deer-in-the-headlights delivery. Everything radiating from these guys said, "I should not be president." They were so pitiful that hundreds of millions of dollars had to be spent to convince us otherwise. And sadly, it works. It is demonstrably true that tens of millions of Americans were so stupid they didn't know that George W. Bush was an idiot. When he ran for re-election, they were so stupid, they didn't even know he had destroyed their country. Now that Obama has signed the hamstrung and hobbled health care insurance reform into law, we'll see Republican politicians screeching and gibbering in front of insane teabaggers, positioning themselves for yet another run for the Oval Office. If Frank were still around, he'd give them one sniff and lift his leg. If only the rest of us were as discerning. Regards, Bob. My Dog Frank, another moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at the Republican National Committee. Bob Alexander can be reached at BobAlex@superbeans.com. What was it? When did he say that, Kathy? Was it several months ago? He said, "Well, that's it. I'm through writing." He's gotten better. Well, not that he needed to improve. Bob's a great writer. Oh, my God. Good stuff. We have a break coming here? Okay. We'll wait a little bit. Because we also have a missive from Prairie 2. Also something from David Korn. Oh, and the open letter to conservatives, which I think is really good, was written by, who wrote this? Russell King. And it's good stuff. There are so many writers out there, progressives, liberals, Democrats, or they don't even have to be that. They can just be people who are just fed up with this right-wing garbage that is being forced down the throats of so many Americans. And as a result, you know, some of these writers who are more articulate in any given 10-second time span than everything that John Boner or the rest of these, or Glenn Beck or the rest of these thugs could say in an afternoon. And the writing is excellent. It's really good stuff. I wish I could share all of it with you, but I can't. You can find it yourselves, though, I'm sure. Again, I make this announcement because it gets me pretty nervous. Oh, the right-wingers, the ones that want to sleep with me, the males, these right-wing white males who want to have sex with me, will probably not want to after Monday because that's when we start running the video feed on the internet. I get so many emails from people, these white right-wing males, whose garbage that they write to me is so easy to read between the lines. Every one of them wants to have sex with me. And you can tell by the language. You can tell by the allusions that they make. You can feel the dripping lust. I don't know, boys. I'm spoken for.
Flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy. He said, boy, I've been in your
shoes once or twice myself. 10 before the hour, Mark in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin writes, Mike, I seem to remember some report I heard that blue states, by and large, pay more in federal taxes than they get back, and the beneficiaries are the red states who get more than they give. Interesting that the Attorney General from Florida isn't suing to keep Florida funds coming to his state after hurricanes or tornadoes, etc. Let's save him the heartache and let Florida know that we feel their pain and that we'll honor the 10th Amendment by not providing any disaster assistance after the next hurricane. Let's set up a time warp for all these people who object to the health care reforms because government can't do anything right, and take away the troublesome legacy of polio and smallpox vaccines that the federal government coordinated several decades ago. How horrible that we kept all those people from the freedom of an iron lug, or liberating leg braces from polio, or the character-building effects of horrible scarring from smallpox, or the gift of death from either. Damn those socialist communist vaccines. Mark in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin. Yeah, this is nothing about health care. This is about racism, and it's about politics, and it's about the Republican Party attempting to do what they always do, and that is build their their base on lies, fear, hatred. That's all they're about. They're cowards. They're liars. And the fact that Barack Obama has an African parent and a European parent is more than these rat bastards can handle. They just can't handle it. Bill McCollum is an old-style right-wing Republican racist. All of these guys are. All of them. Every single one of them. The display of filth that was there for everyone to see as the votes were counted and people gathered at the Congress, at the Capitol building. Screams of faggot against Barney Frank and the N-word against black legislators who put their lives on the line. And that's the reason they're called the N-word, because they did. John Lewis has more courage in his little toe than the average white man screaming the N-word at him has and his mama, his daddy's, and his great-grandpappy's entire bodies. Ugly, scared, lying cowards. Every single Republican office holder had about 95% of the rank and file. It didn't used to be that way. It really didn't. There was a time when if you had a room full of Republicans, maybe 8,000-9,000 of them, and you know, shot a rifle through the crowd, you'd probably hit 4 or 5 who were really just plain old conservatives. Not anymore. If you fire the same rifle in a room of these people now, every person you hit is just a stinking lying coward. Absolutely stinking lying coward. How did that happen? What happened to the Republican Party? My God. Well, it's not my business. I want to see it die. And I want to see it screaming and begging for water. You know, lying there in the sun. Help me! So I can look down at the corpse of the Republican Party and say, help you what?
Help me!
I would, dude, but I don't know what you want.
Give me some water!
Oh, no, 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 I can't do that. If you want water, you're going to have to go get it yourself.
I can't move! I'm dying!
Oh, really? Gosh, I'd like to help you, but that's... You know, according to your boy Beck, that's socialism. Sorry to see...
Water! Please!
Sorry. Are you saved?
What?
Are you saved?
I don't know.
Well, have you confessed your sins and been born again in the blood of the Lamb?
Can I have some water?
You can have all the water you want. About 15 feet over there to your right, there's an entire freshwater lake of cold, clear water. It's all yours. Go get it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
I was run over by a train. My legs are gone. I don't have any boots.
Oh, damn, really?
Water.
You know, there's a part of me would like to give you some water, but you know what?
What?
You're as good as dead.
Oh.
Do you want a priest?
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Gosh. I would have to call one on my cell phone. I can't do that.
Why, for Christ's sake?
Because it's not your cell phone. It's mine. I can't call somebody on my cell phone for you.
Oh, you heartless bastard.
No, 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 no. I'm not heartless. Not heartless at all. I just believe that people ought to do for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Just like you did before you had your legs amputated and you're slowly bleeding to death here. I really would like to help you, but I can't. You're looking pretty pale there, pal. I don't think you're going to make it. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. We have a missive from Prairie 2, a.k.a. Bruce Enberg, our economic affairs correspondent. This one's a little dense. I had to read it a couple of times, so I will go slowly. Not because I or you are dense, but because it is a dense topic that only wise economics affairs correspondents like Prairie 2 fully understand. So here we go. The subject line is, those little punk staffers don't understand self-correcting markets. European governments demanded and got a measure of Wall Street banking reform in the wake of the Greek debt crisis over the lack of disclosure to regulators of credit market activity. They have pushed the new body in charge of collecting global trading data to provide more information to financial watchdogs. Regulators from around the globe, including the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, will now be able to obtain breakdowns of trading activity in credit default swaps, including the identity of the investors. It's called the DTCC, Trade Information Warehouse, and it's a body set up by Wall Street clearinghouses in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, to allow regulators to track positions and trading in over-the-counter credit derivatives to avoid the government doing it. Their policy up until now was to not share information on what was really happening with those pesky regulators. The market is self-correcting, you know. The looming financial crisis has apparently not escaped Senator Chris Dodd, who has surprised everyone by ignoring Republican objections and is forwarding his bill to regulate the big banks to the full Senate. It had been expected to languish in his committee indefinitely. Critics of the bill question the regulatory effectiveness of the proposal, but there is one important thing that the bill does do. It will provide authority to the FDIC to carve up and dispose of the corpses of any large bank or bank-like institution deemed insolvent, and it also creates a $50 billion fund for that purpose. Previously, nobody really had the authority to do anything with the too-big-to-fail banks. They were traditionally so well connected as to be above the reach of any puny federal regulatory agency. The market is self-correcting, you know. Republican Congressman Boehner told the American Bankers Association last Wednesday, don't let those little punk staffers take advantage of you. Stand up for yourselves. It was the practice of the Republicans to write legislation by reprinting word for word anything corporate lobbyists sent over. Apparently, the punk Democratic staffers changed the fax number and put a no corruption block on the spam filter. And Boehner is telling the masters of the universe that they don't need to put up with that. The talking point the minority leader, Boehner, is pushing is that if Wall Street has to pay to clean up its own mess, well, they won't have any money to lend to mom and dad. Oh, the $50 billion called for in Dodd's bill is a third of this year's bonuses. But they claimed those bonuses had nothing to do with the lack of lending. They brag about how much lending they're doing, but it's to corporate pirates who use it to further loot and pillage the wealth of the middle class, and it's not going for economic recovery. The markets are self-correcting to make sure wealth flows to the wealthy. You little punk staffers. Prairie2.com. Prairie2.com. Go to his website and Look at the mischief he creates. Yeah, I saw Chris Dodd being interviewed on MSNBC tonight. Where was it? Was it... might have been on Countdown. It might have been on Hardball. I don't think it was on Hardball because that mouthy little Tweety Bird just, Jesus, you can't get a word in edgewise with that guy. So it must have been Hardball. And Dodd was asked about his bill that's going to the full Senate, where it's going to be filibustered by the Republicans. Of course. Of course they're going to be filibustered by the Republicans. Republicans don't want to clean up the mess on Wall Street. I mean, they couldn't care one way or the other. It's not that they want to or don't want to. They first of all, they do exactly as they're told by their corporate slave owners. Every single Republican in the House and the Senate is a slave owned by a financial institution that has its tentacles in everything on earth. They're all slaves, field hands. They're not even House Negroes. These are field hands. And they do exactly what they're told to do, lest they feel the lash. Or worse. So Dodd, surprise, surprise, has written some legislation, apparently, that does try to prevent yet another round of financial theft that is coming as surely as night follows day. How many of these can we take? How many have we had in the past 20 years, 25 years? Think about it. What, four? Is this the fourth one? Just a constant stealing, grand theft from everybody in America, including these scum-sucking little ridiculous teabaggers. Well, it's President Obama. He did it. No, you crazy twit. It's the masters of the universe on Wall Street who are just ripping everything you thought you owned right out of your hands. And you're going to go protest health insurance. Of course you are, you dumbass. So Chris Dodd has written some legislation. No, it's not the Glass-Steagall Act, reinstated. But it's kind of like Obama's health care plan, health insurance reform plan. It's... about 80 degrees off the mark, 100 being good. But that 20%, those 20 points matter in Obama's health insurance reform and in Christopher Dodd's financial services reform. So how are the Republicans going to respond to this? We heard McCain. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything. We're going to filibuster. We're not going to cooperate with nothing. You got any Vietnamese villages I can bomb? Damn, I miss doing that. Woo! Swooping out of the sky. The load of ordnance just coming down. Well, not too low, because, you know, they... Well, you know what happened to me. They shot me down, those gooks. Bastards. Boy, I miss that. I want to go bomb some civilians. In the meantime, though, we're not going to cooperate with anything. How's my lump? We're not going to cooperate with anything. Nothing. They poisoned the well. The Democrats have. They poisoned it. They just get a little boom, bop, bam, bam. Man, I'm so sick of these people. Under Obama's health insurance reform, starting within 6 months, companies would no longer be allowed to deny coverage to sick children. Insurance companies will no longer be able to deny coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. Oh my God. But a sick, dying child keeps the parents diverted from what the insurance companies are doing to people who don't have sick, dying children. Filthy, filthy, filthy bastards. Past the hour, David Korn writing at mojo.com, all over but the shouting. You know, like a lot of people who are liberal progressives, I think Korn was hoping for, like I was, like you were, for single payer. But as he writes, it's often easier to frighten people about the unknown than the known. For a year, Obamacare, as the critics call it, has been a boogeyman for conservatives who have bashed it as a 2,700-page Bolshevik plot that includes death panels. Yeah, where are the death panels? I want to see the death panels. You notice how the tea bag freak balls and Glenn Beck, the suicide boy, and all the rest. What? Come on, boys. Where's the death panels? Where's the forced abortions? Are we supposed to just supposed to not talk about that anymore? Beck, you monstrous pig. Huh? Where the death? Hey, Sarah Palin. Sarah! Where are the Michelle Bachmann? Hey, Bachmann! Where are the death panels? Well, it's dropped off the radar scope, right? Are any of the MSNBC or NBC or CBS or ABC or CNN anchor people, news readers, talking about the fact that, oh my goodness, look, we combed through this thing with a fine tooth, comb, and guess what? No death panels. I guess the Republicans were lying. No forced abortions. I guess the Republicans were lying. No federal money for any sort of abortion. I guess the Republicans were lying. I haven't heard anybody say that yet. Come on, Wolf Blitzer, you can say that. Huh? Tax credits for small business owners purchasing health insurance for the employees. Bans insurance companies from booting customers when they get sick. Prevents the companies from denying coverage to children with pre-existing conditions. And that will come for adults later. It ends lifetime limits on health care benefits. It fills the so-called Medicare prescription drug donut hole, allowing young people to remain on their parents' policies if they reach age 26. And all kinds of stuff. Tim Kaine, former governor of Virginia, now the chairman of the Democratic Party, says, quote, people will see all this. If they've been wondering, is there a death panel? They'll see the answer is no. If they've been wondering if this is a big government takeover that gets between a doctor and a patient, they'll see the answer is no. Approval of the bill exposes that what the other side said is a phantom. End quote, Tim Kaine. Now, granted, it may take years to determine, as David Korn points out, that whether or not the bill will achieve several of its core aims, restraining health care costs, reducing the deficit, and extending affordable and decent coverage to 31 million people. But in the meantime, there will be here and now results that can be judged. You see? And this is what's going to put the stake into the heart of the Republican Party. Helping seniors with prescription drug costs, helping young adults remain covered, helping consumers facing abusive insurance companies. Oh, come on, Republicans! Campaign on dumping all this. Go ahead, you pigs! As House members prepared to vote on the measure Sunday evening, teabag demonstrators outside the Capitol chanted, "In November, we'll remember! In November, we'll remember!" Okay. Do. Go ahead. Do you think the independent voters, that wishy-washy block, can shift its allegiances very quickly? What do you think they're going to remember? They're going to remember the scare-em rhetoric of these Republican pigs? They're going to remember that? We'll remember in November. What are you going to remember? The death panels? The forced abortions? Slaughtering old people? What are you going to remember? Or are you going to remember some of these benefits? Are you going to remember come November that your child now, who has a form of a neuroblastoma that this baby has had ever since it's been born, it's just been a struggle? And now you get health insurance, which means your child will probably live? Oh, go, Republicans! You stupid bastards, go for it. Tell those people how wrong it is to want to keep their child alive. Go ahead.
The kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow.
Search the internet.
Bells in Auschwitz and Dachau, remember. David Starr, a people's shroud, remember. No refuge and no hiding place for non-members of the master race. All nations enslaved and debased, remember.
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
25 before the hour. I almost forgot. We have a little bit of sound here from Shepard Smith, who is, you know, is one of the news anchor people at Fox News Channel. Every once in a while, he just does something that gets our attention. Today he was questioning RNC Chairman Michael Steele about the ridiculous inflated rhetoric that these Republicans dump on this whole healthcare idea, Armageddon and death panels, all the rest of it. You got to hear this. Shep Smith can't believe it rises to the level of Armageddon. You know, Armageddon, that great getting up morning when everybody goes out to kill each other. Armageddon!
Leader Boehner called this Armageddon. You've talked about a loss of freedoms. The bill, said one Republican congressman from Texas, we now know, it's a baby killer, if we're to believe what he says about it today. Is this rhetoric helpful in these times, in this nation? And if not, how might it be changed to where both sides could make their points without leaving a level of division that I would like to know if you agree is not good for this country?
Well, look, can I ask you a very simple question?
No, I'd rather begin with that one if you don't mind.
But this is the answer to your question.
Is this Armageddon,
that
Mr. Chairman?
That rhetoric is a reflection of what average folks out there are saying around
the
kitchen table.
Armageddon? Seriously?
Yes. Listen to what the people are saying. This is what they're feeling,
Armageddon,
why
Mr.
Is this
Chairman.
So
would you like a
why
definition
is this so
of that?
Surprising to you?
Armageddon? Because
so
I read about Armageddon, and I'm not sure that these two things are
quite. Understand it from the perspective, Shep, understand it from the perspective of a small business owner. Who's
getting a tax credit and a tax break.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
That's what the legislation says.
They're getting a tax credit and a tax break, and they're raising taxes some $560 billion.
Oh, yeah.
So what the government giveth, it taketh away before you even get it.
Ow.
And that's the reality here. Small business owners aren't stupid. They know what this is all about, Jeff. So I understand why you're sort of fashioning around soft rhetoric of the Democrats.
I was asking about the extreme rhetoric.
Is that it? That's all of it? Oh, my God. Oh, these people are swine. Oh. Ann Coulter had her bony ass handed to her by people. Common folk up in Canada. Did you hear about this? Yee-haw! I got this from a bunch of people, but... John in Vancouver, B.C., was the latest to send this to me. Ann Coulter has a reputation in Canada that is completely deserved. Ann Coulter is just a slime ball of the worst type. Free speech, Mike, free speech. Right, free speech. Ann Coulter's the type that, like all Republicans, insists on free speech for herself, but everybody else can go screw. She was scheduled to speak at the University of Ottawa, and it was canceled. Security officials canceled the first one after a protest raised some concerns for her safety. 2,000 people gathered outside the venue to protest her speaking there. And then Patrick writes from Toronto's diary, as you may or may not be aware, Canadians have some pretty strict standards when it comes to hate speech. Besides it being a criminal offense, people tend to reject it pretty severely. We really don't appreciate it when people come from outside of the country attempting to peddle their hate. Enter Ann Coulter, who is scheduled to give speeches at several universities in the country. To my immense pride in our country and to her immense discomfort, Coulter, who fancies herself an advocate of free speech, met its full power in the form of thousands of Canadians protesting her very appearance. What was her response? Well, unlike the recent heroic examples of Speaker Pelosi and her comrades wading through the protesters, Coulter canceled. When faced with little heat for her point of view, she crumbled and backed off. Now, I just want to make one disclaimer on this laugh fest. I understand that universities are places where ideas are exchanged and free speech is given very wide berth. I would have objected to the suppression of Coulter's participation. However, from my perspective, non-disruptively protesting her speech is fair game. Funny how conservatives talk a big game about free speech when peddling their hate, but they can't stand the heat of others exercising their rights to disagree. Give a Canadian a high five next time you see one. We've got your backs up here. Yeah, if more of that happened in the United States, if Newt Gingrich, what a pig bastard he is, if Ann Coulter, if any of these people had the temerity to stick their ugly faces in their hate speech in front of the American people, I don't know what's happened to us. Maybe Canada has jobs. Canada has a stable banking industry. Canada is not facing home foreclosures because they allowed their financial services industry to peddle snake oil and steal them blind. So Canadians have the wherewithal and the energy to say no. When some piece of human waste like Ann Coulter decides to come up and try to peddle her hate speech there, is there a more worthless person on earth than Ann Coulter? Is there? I'm serious. Is there? What has this person done to justify her existence? Nothing. Nothing. So the Canadians say, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Now, of course, Coulter will spin this, that she was denied her right to free speech. No, she wasn't. She's a coward. Boy, it's hard not to say the kind of language I want to say. Boy, it's hard. I can't stand this. I want to cuss. I mean, really. But I can't. I promised. Coulter will spin this as though her right to free speech was denied by those dirty, nasty socialist Canadians. Parliamentarian types, you know, socialists. What a wreck. What a train wreck. I'll tell you, I appreciate our Canadian listener, the people in Canada listen to this program, however they listen. I don't know. Satellite radio, internet, whatever. And who correspond on a regular basis. They send me these quick emails. Because and to the same degree that I appreciate people in this country who do the same thing. But it's especially meaningful to me because Canadians have a perspective that we can't get in this country because we live in this slop, in this swill. We do. And you and I are constantly struggling against this. If we're not protesting, and very few of us protest anymore in the traditional sense, then we're trying to, you know, stuff dirt in our ears so we don't have to listen to this crap anymore, or we're trying to find jobs, or we're trying to figure out why these pig, filthy Republicans insist that a simple, a couple of changes to health insurance, the way it's delivered in this country, equals Nazi death camps or something. So it's always good to for me anyway, to get emails from people in Canada. I mean, we get emails from people all around the world and phone calls from Australia, for God's sake. But these are our neighbors. You know, Canada, the largest trading partner of the United States. Canadians who look just like us. Oh, my God, they look just like us. Huh? No matter what color they are, they look just like us. The white ones, the black ones, the brown ones. Ah! And yet, there is a remove in their behavior. They're not insane like so many people in the United States are just absolutely, oh, I want to cuss, insane. I'm so glad that their hockey team won the gold. Oh, my God! So thank you, Canadians. Mark's in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Listen, Bush and the Republicans destroyed the country for the last 8 years. They've got nothing to run on, so all they can do is gin up hate and lies.
Yeah.
And racism. And unfortunately, this ugly message is pretty scary because that's, you know, the 24/7 on the right wing echo machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is, and I don't understand why we Americans put up with this, support it. There are millions of people who just like hogs sucking up after dinner slop. Oh, don't write me now and tell me hogs are clean animals. I know. But I've worked on a farm, and we used to dump great barrels of slop from a Boy Scout camp. So I know what I'm talking about. The way hogs suck up the slop, it seems like Americans, a percentage of Americans, just suck up, devour this slop put out by right-wingers. Hey, thanks, Mark.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums.
Oh, get out. It is not.
It is so.
Stop.
I learned, will you?
Take off, eh?
Take off.
Before the hour, Arvid in Wisconsin writes, let me get this straight. Bush orders the bombing of a city and kills countless innocent people. Cheney thinks torture's good. Rice hops around the globe doing everything she can to start World War III. And Obama brings health care to millions and earns a Nobel Peace Prize. Now, one out of four Republicans think Obama is the Antichrist? Well, of course, Arvid, you're talking about Republicans. Jesus. From Roz in Canada, when Coulter was told to watch her language because of the hate speech crime in Canada, she threatened to sue the university for hate speech against her. How do you like that? Remember when she said that Canada was lucky that the United States allowed us to live on the same continent? Oh, she's just just an absolute waste of human DNA, just a sack of gristle and bones that walks and talks and makes noises out of her ass, or no, I'm sorry, that's her mouth. It's just awful. Ann Coulter, what has she done to justify being alive? I'll take whatever comments you got on that one. Mike's in Salt Lake City. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Mike. Oh, Mike, I want to talk to you about the Republicans' lawsuit against the health insurance reform bill.
Yeah.
Well, Utah is joining them, and I find that these Republicans, you know, just it doesn't make sense to me for them to tell me that they're doing me a favor by suing, saying that it's unconstitutional to force me to buy health insurance, when obviously the reason why that's in the health care bill is because, you know, it's a benefit for the health insurance company and the hospital industry. That's number one. Number two, here in Utah, it is mandatory that you have to carry automobile insurance. So here again, it's just a bunch of hypocritical, you know, talking two sides out of their mouth.
Well, yeah, and I would imagine, I don't know anything, Mike, about your attorney general, state attorney general, but I would be willing to bet you dollars to acorns that the guy is a Mormon. And because, well, you know, because it's Utah, come on. And Mormons, of course, believe that they have a right to reach into the coffins of dead Jews and convert them to Christianity and baptize them. Huh? Dead Jews who have been warned. I'm sorry, the Jews have warned the Mormons, stop trying to convert our dead people. You know what the Mormons say? No, that's right. Never mind. We're going to do it anyway. So the Mormons reserve their right for themselves to baptize the souls or spirits or hairballs or whatever the hell it is of dead people, whether they're Jews or Christians or Muslims. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, there's a whole industry in Utah run by Mormons. I mean, people go to work to sit there and call up the names of the dead and convert them. And these bastards, these religious freak nuts, are going to say, well, but, you know, the federal government doesn't have a right to tell us we have to buy health insurance. Oh, my God. It's just, I mean, it is bizarre beyond belief. Beyond belief. But it's the United States of America, 2010. We're an asylum. We're an armed madhouse. As Vonnegut and Palast have pointed out, an armed madhouse. During an interview with radio station WAXL, Kickin' Country, in Lewisburg, Tennessee, Dolly Parton took Senator Bob Corker, Republican, to task over his refusal to regulate the nation's payday loan industry, which charges a whopping 400% interest rate to military families and unemployed workers for these little short-ass loans when people need money. Dolly accused Corker of going, quote, behind closed doors to work out agreements to allow the high interest rates to continue. Dolly Parton said, for a dad and a mom trying to raise some kids on a military paycheck, a 400% interest rate is not just dumb, it's un-American. Growing up poor, I know the hardship and tragedy that money matters can cause to a family. Legislation was proposed back in November that would give a new consumer protection agency the power to enforce rules governing these predatory, blood-sucking bastards. But according to Dolly Parton, Senator Corker removed the payday loan industry from regulation under a bill, quote, so that it could continue to charge 400% interest rates to the men and women in the U.S. military around the world who are fighting to preserve our freedom, end quote. Well, Dolly, I appreciate it, but they're not fighting to preserve our freedom. But thanks anyway for taking a stand. State of Tennessee has an estimated 3,000 military families. And what do you want to bet? How many of those voted for Bob Corker, the Republican, who, as Dolly Parton says, behind closed doors and the dank darkness of his little cell, works to remove a provision that wouldn't end these filthy payday loans? It would ride herd and pass regulations that say, well, you can screw the soldiers, but only this much. And Bob Corker said, no, this is America. This is America. Payday loaners, you know, they send me lots of money. And the military, Dolly Parton, but damn, they're not fighting for freedom. They're just fighting for corporate America. Hell, I am corporate America. So, you know, on and on. Filthy, disgusting Republicans. On that happy note, I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Search the internet.